We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rockets currently find themselves as an 8-point favorite. Now, a point of procedure. First and foremost, the Warrior game still scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Wednesday night. There was a chance that had the Rockets and the Bucks both swept, shout out the Bucks for handling their business, that the Warrior game would have then been bumped up to 6 o'clock. But because the Rockets fell in Utah, you now have a scenario in which the Warriors will play at 7:30. So it's the Rockets and the Jazz. They'll be on at 5 p.m. here. Rockets as an 8-point favorite. Right after that, 7:30 p.m., Warriors hosting the Clippers. Warriors a 14-point favorite.
Wow.
As they get set to try and close this thing out. Surprised at all that happened last night? Because that is a big win for the Dubs.
Yeah, not that surprised, quite frankly, because Utah was a team that we all thought was going to be a real threat to the Warriors. Depending on how the bracket fell, you thought Utah could make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They were that good. Joe Ingles continuing to light it up. Donovan Mitchell came to life yesterday. I'm not surprised that they won that game. And if you talk to Utah fans, they feel like it should be 2-2 heading back to Houston. But it's very difficult, Lo, as we talked about yesterday, to beat one single team four consecutive times, especially when you're talking about two teams that were only separated by three games in the regular season.
Yeah, it was a big win when you think about what Mitchell and those guys were able to do, especially in the situation they're in. You're down three, especially what the Rockets had at stake, when you think about knowing that they could have a whole week off to get ready for the Dubs, and the Dubs had to play to Wednesday night. You're thinking, okay, Houston's going to have their mindset right and be able to go out there and take care of Utah and take care of their business. Utah had a different agenda. They said, we're not going. We will not go into the night. We will not go down without a fight. And that's what they were to do. That was a big win for this Utah team. They played together, and they were trailing in that game as well. I turned it off. They were down 72, 60-something, 60-something.
Yeah, 79-76 after three.
And I'm like, okay, maybe I got this one. You know, I had a little money on this particular game and think that it was over. And to my dismay, it was a freaking heck of a game by Utah. And they did well. And I know the Warriors should be happy because it extends this, and that's more wear and tear on you-know-who, James Harden.
You may not have won the bet, but it sounded to me like you scored a bucket last night. Can we hear that again? It sounds like Lo Neal is the one who finishes off this dunk.
Off the steal, it's Mitchell. Back it goes!
Was that you last night?
I didn't realize you had that kind of vertical.
Yeah, I jumped on Utah, guys. It was me. Fly. Come fly with me.
It's actually Royce O'Neal, but the first time I heard it, I didn't pay attention to it. And when we played it again right there, it sounds like Marv says, Lo Neal.
It did.
Yes.
It did.
With a dunk.
That's how you get caught with the Lorenz O'Neal.
Right. Occasionally.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to make the joke, but that's how if you emphasize certain points the right way, you're actually saying your name, but you're not saying your name. And that's what can lead to the infamous email of Lorenzo O'Neal.
Yeah.
The only company email he's ever responded to in 4+ years. It just said, excuse me, my name's Neil, not O'Neal.
Perfect.
Has never responded to one since.
That was it.
When was the last time you logged in the company email?
How many password changes has he been asked to do?
Zero. It just shut itself down. And it's like a Mission Impossible. This email account will self-destruct.
I have to go back to all the time.
Four. Will Utah show up for game five? Was this a matter of, look, we're not going out like that. We had a good season. We've got pride. You are not going to sweep us out of the playoffs. And then they went out, they got their win, and now it's all right. Let's go to Houston. Let's just get this season over with, and let's go on our vacation. Or do you think Utah is truly in their mind saying, you know what? We can beat these guys. They're not that bad. We're going to go ahead. We're going to make history. We're going to come back. We're going to win four in a row.
They think that they can win four in a row. And to do that, you got to win just one more in Houston and then worry about the return trip to Utah. If you're Utah, you look at the regular season and you say, they were only three games better than us. Game three, we were right there. We could have won that game. You go to Houston and you play like you did last night. You think, hey, if we win this game, we're definitely winning game six in Utah. Now it comes down to a game seven scenario where Houston's in a possible choke spot. So if you're Utah, there's a free run at Houston in game five, because if you win it, you know you have a chance to do the unthinkable.
Do you see it the same way?
No, I don't. I think the Rockets ended. I think that you were in a situation last night, and I think that's why Dan was right on that particular one. He said, "No, Utah's going to show some pride. They're going to fight." They were playing like, "Look, guys, let's just not get swept. Let's just go and let's go in here and show them what we can do. Anything can happen. Let's make this thing happen." And they were able to do that. Now you look at it, the Rockets are coming home. The Rockets are like, you're getting a tough game. You can say, "Oh, we're going home." Now they're going home. I think they take care of business, but Utah could have been sitting at this situation and being 2-2 because the game that killed them, when James Harden misses 15 when he's 1-for-15, need to win that game.
Seriously.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. All this good stuff, Houston's flop.
The NFL draft is in 2 days. Jolo and Dibs talk to the new voice of the 49ers, Greg Papa. Eddie. Followed by last season's breakout star for the Niners, George Kittle at 8:30.
Kittle in Denver territory. Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome to The Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our beautiful Taco Tuesday-bound listening audience, because we love you and because we want to jump right into some audio from former Warriors head coach Mike Jackson. Now, we've got Mike Jackson. Flag that.
That's all right.
Can't start a segment like that. Got to take five for that. Mark Jackson. What we're going to do in a little while, we're going to talk with Greg Papa at 8 and 49ers tight end George Kittle at 8:30. But we want to start the segment with some hoops. Mark Jackson talking with Stephen A. Smith yesterday. He was asked directly what this Warrior team will look like come July when free agency opens.
You have a free agency for a reason. I do not think this team will be together next year. I don't think that the fun is as much as it's been in the past. So I think there will be a different looking team next year. And I think Kevin Durant is the guy that holds the key. And then when it comes time to free agency, if you're the Golden State Warriors, you do not mess with Klay Thompson. As soon as possible, 12:01, and I mean not 1 minute, but 1 second, you put an offer, a max deal on the table for Klay Thompson, because he is absolutely essential to your success and what he's done for that franchise.
All right, let's start with this. Jackson says, I think. Do you believe he has any sort of insight whatsoever? Is he hearing anything that the rest of the world isn't, to where you would put more weight on this opinion? Or is he just giving an opinion like everyone else is giving an
opinion? Just giving an opinion. He was removed from the organization for specific reasons. And I don't know if you would characterize it as persona non grata, like he's not welcome. But there was a clear falling out with the way he comported himself, with some of the things that he believes, that he's on the record saying about gay people, etc. So he's not somebody who is still connected to the organization. So this is strictly his opinion.
So he's got the opinion that this team will not look the same come free agency. Now, we're not talking about the lower portion of the roster. We're clearly talking about the top. And he says it starts with Kevin Durant. But first and foremost, do you agree with Dibs? Do you believe that Mark Jackson is just giving an opinion here? Or do you think somehow, some way, he may have heard something that the rest of us have not?
With all due respect, I disagree with Daniel here. And I don't think it behooves us to say that he's not connected. You look at Steph Curry, one of the most prolific three-point shooter games ever seen. I think they're very connected. They have a great relationship. They still talk to one another. I think he's connected with a lot of people, a lot of the players and people in the organization still. Just because of a man's belief doesn't mean that everyone doesn't like someone. So I think that you have to look at it and say, okay, he does know some of these people. Him and Klay Thompson have a great relationship. Him and Klay Thompson's father has a great relationship. So I think that for us to just say he's not connected and he doesn't talk to those guys, I think that he does. I think that he talks to him and his father. They have a relationship. And you don't think that – I know that, God, you know, we talk about our kids. You know, Dibs and I talk about our kids. So if for us to believe that these guys aren't friends or they won't reach out and say, what do you think? Is it, man, I want my son deserves a max deal. They have that. That's not a bad conversation. So I think that he has. This is based on some of the things that, who he knows and the people that he surrounds himself with. And I think he's absolutely right. I think that you don't even play around. You don't. It's not even an issue. You give the guys money. Give it to him.
All right, but back to Durant. Jackson says that he's the one that holds all the cards, which is 100% true. He's the best player in the world. He's going to be the ultimate domino. Now, free agency opens at 12:01 a.m. Monday, July 1st. This is just infinitely, infinitely beyond the bound of stupidity on behalf of the NBA. This is just going to be a quick aside, and then we'll get back on track. Why are you opening your free agency period at 12:01 a.m. Eastern on Monday, July 1st? First and foremost, July 4th is that Thursday. People are going to take off this week. Second of all, why does free agency start in the middle of the night? Learn from the NFL. This is a huge moment for you if you're the NBA. This is a massive opportunity to have the entire world talking about your product. So why would you news dump it, right? You news dump. This is a news dump time slot. When you have to announce a suspension, an arrest, a firing, a problem, you generally dump it out there around Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That way, it gets lost in the weekend news cycle. It doesn't get the attention it would otherwise get if it came out Tuesday at noon, for example. This is NBA free agency. You have big-name players that the world's going to be talking about, and you open it at 12:01 a.m. Eastern on a Monday leading into a holiday week. When Durant made his announcement the last time, it was on July 4th. Nobody was even working. Bump the thing up a week so that you can take more advantage of the news cycle. It's not that hard. I think the last possible day the NBA Finals can take place, it's a Sunday. I want to say it's June 17th. So that whole week after Game 7, you have the parade, the recap, the fallout, all that. Then open up free agency the following week. Too bad for the teams in the finals. That's why you hire so many good people. You got to react quickly, but you all know this is coming. You can't push it back from this date because then it goes in the summer league and you're already getting ready to open training camps. I have no idea why the NBA does this. I had to get that off my chest because it is just a stupid decision to start your free agency period at 12:01. Oh, good. Is Durant going to make his announcement at 12:01 Eastern? I'll be sleeping. Is that what you want? All the reporters to be sleeping so that no one can talk about it? Brutal.
Everyone absolutely has to brutal. Get up then, Joe. It's like an off-season earthquake.
You know? Let me stay up later, please.
Yeah, you got to get up. Magic Johnson will be up, although he's no longer needed to be at 12:01 at LeBron's house anymore. So now he can sleep in. But other GMs, I guess you'll have to be up and you'll have to be ready to sign guys at 12:01 because if you get to Klay Thompson at 12:02, God forbid, because then he's going to feel disrespected by your offer.
Durant has made clear that he's going to do what he did last time around. He's going to control the message. This is not going to leak. This is not going to be a scenario where Adam Schefter is reporting the biggest NFL free agent where he's signing. He's going to control the message. LeBron has done this. Durant's done it before. It's a smart move. You're in control of how the words come out. You get first spin. You get first crack. It's brilliant. He had this quote the other day when talking with NBC Sports Bay Area when he was asked about the media, quote, "They need me. If I wasn't a free agent, none of this expletive would go on, right? None of this speculation about who I am, what's wrong with my mental, why I'm miserable, why I ain't happy with life, nothing." He's going to release the message on his own. Now, that's smart, but the idea that the media needs him, true?
No, it's laughable. Because,
really?
Yes, if he's not there, let's just say Kevin Durant had signed a 10-year contract, and he says, I'm going to retire as a Warrior. I'm just going to play basketball. Okay, cool. So that story is no longer on the table. The media, we in the media, we would have moved on to something else. So maybe his point is a greater point of all you in the media need all of us and all of our contract drama and stuff, but the job of the media is to respond to what fans think is interesting, but also to dig and create interesting content. So if the Kevin Durant free agency narrative is off the table, memo to KD, there's still enough out there to where the media is going to be able to survive. We're not going to all shrivel up and not have anything to talk about. We're not doing 4 hours of dead air just because KD has decided where he's going to go. Pump the brakes on the narcissism just a little bit, 35.
Does the media do more good than harm or more harm than good? Think about it for a second based on A, social media and technological advances that have given these guys the ability to get their own message out there, and B, virtually everyone having the opportunity to weigh in on it. And then take a look at what happened with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City a couple games ago, where he refuses to answer the questions of Barry. I don't know his last name offhand, but he covers the Thunder. He's a B writer. He's around the team on a daily basis. Westbrook doesn't like him. So when this guy asks Westbrook questions, Westbrook kind of was talking to Paul George at the podium. He just ignores him. And then when the guy stops asking the question, Westbrook just looks at him and says, next question. He's defiant. He refuses to answer the question. He's got Paul George doing it too now. So they obviously are at war with the media. Media, more harm than good when it comes to covering sports and teams and players?
Well, I think it's good, for one, but I totally disagree with Dan, with all due respect. Kevin Durant's absolutely 1,000% right. And you say pump the brakes 35. Why? He's right. Let's talk about teams. When you look at teams like Sacramento, you look at teams that are even in the playoffs. Friggin' the Spurs, who's got a great coach with all the great things that he's done. We were talking about who? Who were we talking about when they weren't even in the playoffs? They were still watching, and all the national, you watched on every single station that was, and it had nothing to do with where he's going. He's not going to be a free agent. LeBron James. You watch the narrative. Is LeBron making it to the playoffs? Is he going to, what's going on with this team? Everything. LeBron goes dark. He's already in playoff mode. All the stuff's around. The team was out of the playoffs. It was over, and it was still being talked about. Absolutely. Those guys, certain guys, move the meters more than others. And for us to sit here and say that no, that we don't need those type of guys to move the meter, no, we're absolutely. Kevin Durant has a very, very valid point, and it had nothing in it. And you can just look at LeBron and KD, two guys that are lightning bolts for the association. And LeBron was already under contract, but if you look at what he was able to do, a team that wasn't even threatening for the playoffs, they still was front headline. He's got one game, got 0%, 1% of making the playoffs. It still was a narrative, a guy that's still under contract.
You've done it again. You've proven my point yet again with your strained and, quite frankly, painful LeBron James analogy. We probably should have seen that coming, that you would immediately go back to your happy place and swing to and fro. The point of my point, Joe, was that the fact that Kevin Durant says, you need me, the media needs me, you just proved my point. We have LeBron James. And if we don't have LeBron, we've got James Harden and his MVP push. We've got Giannis Antetokounmpo and his rising star in Milwaukee. You could pick any team. You could pick any market. You could pick any storyline, and the media would do its job to build it up, to make it maybe more than it is, and it would be a storyline. If Kevin Durant decides on July 1st, you know what? I'm not going to play basketball anymore. My free agency destination is going to be, I'm going to go work at Office Depot selling paper clips. Wow. Interesting story. All right, KD, you're off the table. Does the media shut down? Do we shrivel up like a raisin in the sun? No.
Bet you'll be talking about it. That's not true. The whole day would be about Kevin Durant decides to quit basketball.
To sell paper clips.
To say it'd be a huge.
He's going to go work at Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah, exactly.
So then what happens in October when the season starts? Do we not cover the Warriors because Kevin Durant is now pushing clips for the Miff? No, we move on. So for him to think that we need him so much is very narcissistic, in my opinion.
You're talking about him now.
It's because it's a topic, but
I think it's somewhere in the middle. We would eventually move on. You're right. He is the needle, though. He's the needle right now. He's the number one story in basketball. You make the point about Giannis. Giannis is a great story. People can't pronounce his name. That's his biggest problem. He plays in Milwaukee with a name people can't pronounce.
By June, everyone's going to be able to spell his name.
I would like to believe that because he's worthy of that. But right now,
I would like to believe it too.
People do not refer to him by his last name. A lot of them, people just call him the Greek Freak because they don't even know how to pronounce the first name. Is it Giannis? Is it Giada? What are we dealing with here?
Is it Gianna?
That's one of the issues right there, right? That's one of the issues. So Durant is the needle at this point in time. He's going to go ahead and make the decision on his own. I'm still trying to figure out if I think he's a media genius or if he just continues to shoot himself in the foot with all of this because he's always in the headlines. And he has done a masterful job of staying relevant. I'd imagine he's going to pick the right day and time to make this announcement so that he can get the most possible coverage. But again, he brings so much of this on himself. There are the guys who are attacked routinely, or at least feel like they're being attacked, who are they? They're the ones who are standoffish with the media on a regular basis.
Next question.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, Russell Westbrook constantly feels the heat because Russell Westbrook has no idea how to act like a professional. None whatsoever. When things don't go his way, he turns into a petulant child. And that's okay. If that's how it's going to play out, if you're that emotional, fine. You're getting your $40 million a year. Do you. But also, since KD left, you're pretty much just a one-and-done afterthought every single year. And then afterwards, when you go to the meet with the media, you act like a baby, and everyone makes their jokes about you, and they move on. You've become more of a sideshow than you have become a main attraction, and that's an issue for your brand. But he doesn't really care, so it doesn't matter. Guys like Lillard, they lose a game, they get in front of the media, they answer their questions. There's a reason you don't see the media attacking Dame Lillard on a regular basis, because he handles his business. There are guys that go out there, and they just handle their business, and they're left to a certain degree alone. Now, Durant, one way or another, they're going to be coming after him on a regular basis, and this is only going to magnify, but he's so good at giving you things to latch onto and to talk about. I like want to give him credit for that because it's impressive. He's consistently in the news.
And he's a superstar.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
He's a superstar, and that's what you got to realize, Dibs. They do move the needle.
Mark the tape on that, please. Kevin Durant, superstar, 731.
Okay. Smart guy.
How about
this guy? Is he not a guy? Does he talk at all? You said, what does he even sound like? We use his laugh tracks all the time. Kawhi Leonard. Does he say anything? Does he say much? Does he do much? But he moves a meter regardless. Why? Because he's a friggin' superstar. Mark that tape. This is a superstar. It goes to my point. These guys, I don't care. They move the meter because of what they're able to do. There's a lot of guys talk that's on Twitter and Instagram that does way more than Kevin Durant. But who are they? That's the point that I'm making. Kevin Durant's right. He does move the meter. Will the meter move? The media still go on? No question. But without Kevin Durant right now is driving it. And you saw that with LeBron, a guy under contract, all those different things, and wasn't in the playoffs, and it still was moving the meter, and the media was all over it.
I hope in the next round he channels it into just going after Houston and Harden, just like I hope Houston channels it after going after KD and the Rockets. This next round is going to need more than just basketball. And it's going to need more than just impending free agency talk. I don't want to do any of that in the next round. I want to let free agency die for a little bit. I want all the off-court and off-season drama to just be put on hold for the Rocket round. I really do. I want that to focus on basketball, and I want them to give us storylines throughout the course of the series that pertain directly to the series. I want someone to run at Chris Paul. Did anyone see how he drew that foul last night? He's pulling up as he gets inside the free throw line, and a guy behind him kind of creates a situation where some wind bumps into Paul, and he flops and falls to the ground as if he's been shot, European soccer style, and before you know it, there's a foul called. I mean, it's genius, but it's also laughable. This is going to be something we're going to have to deal with in the next round. Story for another day.
Yeah, and you're going to see already, you can see the entire Warrior team with the palms up. Team palms up. Forget strength and numbers. It's we play palms up.
They're praying, Dibs. They're praying.
They're praying to the gods to maybe get a referee that they actually can stomach, which I don't believe one exists, so James Harden, Chris Paul, these guys are unbelievable at drawing fouls, and the way Steph has been reaching and the way Draymond reacts, there's one of your storylines right there. It's not the Warriors versus the Rockets. It's the Warriors versus the refs.
How chippy do you think it's going to be?
It's going
to
be very chippy.
I mean, last year it got chippier and chippier, if those are even words, as the series wore on. You got to figure, you come right out in game one, there's going to be words. It's not going to be hugging and kissing like you see in some of these matchups that have gotten Charles Barkley worked up time and time again. They're going to come out there and, you know, there's going to be the acknowledgement because
yes,
there's a lot of talent on both sides. There's a lot of mutual respect. But you got to put all that to the side, right? This is going to be warfare.
Let's reverse engineer the physicality for just a moment and start at the bottom, and now we're here. And you look at the Houston Rockets, and they've got Nene Hilario, a veteran who's a very physical player. And don't forget Kenneth Faried from his time in Denver. He's a guy who plays physically, and occasionally, I won't say will issue a cheap shot, but he will play to the echo of the whistle. On the Warriors side, we know about Andrew Bogut. He's a guy who sets a mean screen, and you've got Draymond Green who can play as physically as anybody. So you start to look at the matchup among just those four, whether it's a hard foul or one that we saw a couple nights ago where a player got wrapped up. I think it was James Harden. He got wrapped up and kind of wrestled to the ground where the player thought he was trying to hold him up, and then Harden goes down. There's going to be some incidents of physicality that definitely will be interesting.
Oh, will there be an ejection in the next series?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Because like you said, Bogut sets a mean screen for the green machine, and they can go out.
No, keep going. I love it. Clay's leaning mean.
So, there's going to be some ejection. Without a doubt, there'll be an ejection this next series.
Will there be a punch thrown? Over under a half a punch thrown. So it's really just funny.
That's a big brawl for the NBA. I'm going under on the punch, yeah, but over on the ejection of 0.5 ejections.
I'm not giving you 0.5 ejections. I didn't set that line. That line's got to be higher. There's not going to be one guy getting thrown out. It has to be multiple. What's it going to do? One guy's going to go overboard and everyone's just going to exercise restraint? Do we see that all the time?
No, it could be a 2T ejection, though. It could be like a Kevin Durant when he got ejected in game one, where it's, you know, you say those words and you're gone.
And was he the only one ejected that time?
I'd have to check my notes, Joe, but I believe...
Your example just played right into what I'm talking about.
Right.
That literally was the worst example known to man.
Don't we need to go
case.
To Anna here for what's
nope.
trending?
No, you got a lot of segment left. You're out on that island with a lot of segment left. You don't have a volleyball to keep you company.
That's karma. That's exactly
what it's like. Oh, is that Carmelo? Is that what that is? Anyway, Joe.
Will there be any kissing? Yes. Face to face, you know what I mean? Guys getting in. Yeah.
Oh, jaw to jaw?
Oh, yeah. No question. You know that's going to happen.
You didn't mean like Isaiah and Magic kissing. You meant like possible brawl kissing.
Yeah, get that out of here. I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to see anyone shake hands at the beginning of the series either, honestly. I don't want to see good sportsmanship. I don't want anyone out there looking to set example for the kids, because this series isn't for the kids. You want a series for the kids? Go watch Milwaukee-Detroit. That one's for the kids. That will teach you exactly what capitalism is. Work hard, spend money, build a great team, you will beat the other guys. You don't have to go ahead and feel bad for the old poor little 8 seed because they can't keep up and life isn't fair. Too bad. That's the scenario. Those are the cards you were dealt. Make it rain if you can. And they couldn't. And you know what? Shout out the Pistons. It was a pretty solid year. And they limped into the playoffs literally and figuratively. Blake Griffin was banged up. They were outmatched. That's a series for the kids. Okay? The kids can watch that series. The kids are not going to be interested. You're not going to want the kids watching Golden State Houston. That's how I hope it plays out. Now, it probably won't. It's the NBA, and they'll realize that they're on the national stage and that they have an obligation for the shield, for the brand, to make sure they comport themselves in a certain way. But I'm okay if this thing spills into a couple rows up front. I'm okay. E-40 will be down there. E-40 is going to be just fine. E-40 is going to be just fine. Travis Scott's going to be just fine if it spills into the stands. I got no problem. I'm not talking about the Malice at the Palace.
Right.
I'm talking about Philly, Brooklyn. You got a little issue. You spill into the first couple rows. I'm okay with that. People are courtside. They're paying top dollar. They'll probably appreciate
it. Keep it civil. Don't hurt anyone. But certainly if you need to get together, go ahead and mix it up. Because Lowe always says if you can't get along,
might as well get it on.
You might as well get it on. Joe, what happens first? I guess... who gets memed first? Is it Steph crossing Chris Paul or Chris Paul crossing Steph? Because you know...
those are my only two options, or can it be anything in terms of memeing?
Those two, and if you want to go with a wild card, throw it in there. But I'm thinking about the memes. Who gets memed first?
And
the
Paul's going to meme Steph first. Paul's going to do it to Steph.
He'll cross him over.
Steph's a little bit in his own head. You see him on the court. He's not knocking down his shots that he would like. He's getting in the foul trouble. Paul has no shame. That's the thing with Chris Paul. He has no shame. You can humiliate him, and in his mind, it does not matter. You can cross him up. He's going to come right back at you. And no matter how it plays out for him, and it never plays out well because he never ends up competing for anything of note, but he will just keep coming at you. Like, Steph has a little bit of a different demeanor. Steph will get him more often than Paul gets him. That's a fact. You can take that one to the bank, and I don't think anyone would disagree with it. But if one of them's going down first, it's that small of a sample size, I'll take Paul to get Steph first. Because I think you're going to come into the series, and there might be some apprehension on behalf of Steph. You know, he's not shooting all that well. He's got to worry about his defense. Steph has a much bigger challenge on his plate than Chris Paul does. If you're going to put him one-on-one with Harden, and you're already drawing more fouls than you ever have in your life, and you're going up against the guy who draws more fouls than anybody on the planet, that's just a bad matchup from the start. You are at a severe disadvantage from the start. So he's got a lot on his plate. So if Chris Paul gets him in some way, whatever, you chalk it up. He'll get Paul more often, though. That's how I see it. I don't know if you disagree or agree or...
yeah, I just think that where do you put Paul? Because Paul's going to be in the microwave as well.
Right.
I mean,
defensively, who does he guard?
Who does he guard? He's going to be in the tub. He's going to be in that pickle jar as well. So I look at this, and I think that Steph gets right tomorrow night. We're going to see Steph come out. He'll lead the team in scoring. He'll go for, 27 or more. Steph's going to be on.
Where do you get these numbers from? I'm not criticizing. It's just... Where does 27 come from?
It just comes to me like I'm sort of like a prophet. It just certain things.
That part I will criticize.
I feel certain things. You know, it's
prophet Lohamed.
It's you feel it. You know, sometimes you feel like here's a guy that's been struggling. They are going to do everything in their power. Freaking, we didn't run the ball well. If the team wasn't running the ball, Marty would say, you know what? you guys, you got one of the best runners in this game. We're freaking going to give him the ball. You better put your get your mindset set, and we're going to go run the ball. That's no different. Right now, Kerr is going to orchestrate and put some stuff together. Steph Curry is going to play well. He's going to play well. The guy's not going to be in foul trouble. They're playing at home. He's coming home. Joe, you got to see that 27 or more. You got to see that. I mean, that's
I
obvious.
I can. I didn't come into my day thinking to myself, can Steph get 27? But yet, sure enough, here I am thinking, can Steph get 27? I'd like to believe no is the answer. And here's why. Not because I'm rooting against him. I want you to boat the Clippers early, and I want you to get him out of the game. And I want the lack of minutes at the end of the game to eventually be the reason why he doesn't get the 27 points. I'm hoping the Clippers show up and realize the series is over. It's a great season. You have nothing to be ashamed about. You took one off the champs. You acquitted yourselves nicely. Rivers all the way down. You all made yourselves a lot of money. Every one of you look good. There's not one Clipper I'm going to come out and say, man, that was an embarrassment. They look good, and they're going to get a round of applause at the end of this. And I know people hate that idea because they're still the Clippers, but they've proven to be a formidable, and more importantly for me, interesting opponent in the first round. This is why I didn't want the Spurs. I didn't want some dull, lackadaisical first-round matchup like we got last year. That matchup sucked. And in the first year when they just boated Anthony Davis and the Pelicans out, there was intrigue because it was the first year. It wasn't a great opponent. This is a great opponent. So we'll go ahead. We'll give them the round of applause. I'm hoping they lay down. Go on your vacation, Doc. You guys have done a great job. Go on your vacation. Let's get set for round two. We don't need any more shenanigans. Now, if Utah wants to throw some shenanigans out there, I'm fine with that. Houston's not my problem. So they can go ahead and extend that series as long as they like. I would like these guys to go ahead and get rest. I want to see this thing come to an end. I'm hoping Steph's out of the game by the early fourth and that the backups can go ahead and hold it down. Clippers lay down. Everyone moves on with the life. I think I would side with Lowe in this one with the over. And I like what you're saying about a boating, but I think Steph is going to come out offensively determined. KD is going to defer, and he might get 30 points in 30 minutes. He played 35 minutes the other night. I think in your scenario, if everything goes well, he plays the whole first quarter, no foul trouble. He sits the first six, then he plays the last six of the second. He plays the whole third. That's 30 minutes right there. Go ahead and take the fourth off, right. And I think at that point, 27 is a very interesting number. I would go slightly over the 27, but again, I think I'm with you on if it's a motorboating, he only gets like 30 minutes anyway.
Let me run this by you then. I don't like that scenario one bit, because if that's how it plays out and KD defers to Steph and Steph plays well, who's the alpha in game one against Houston?
It goes back to KD.
Why? Steph's hot. Steph's feeling it. Why would you break away from Steph if he's feeling it? Steph had a rough series. You finally got him going, and now you want to move away from him?
I think it's because KD is ultimately the most unique and unstoppable offensive weapon. And
then why not let him handle business in game five to seal the deal in the series?
Because I don't think you're in seal the deal mode, quite frankly. And if it gets close and you're in the second half and it's the fourth quarter, it's a one-point game, yeah, we go to KD because he's an unstoppable offensive force.
So it's selective then. Let him defer in the first three quarters and then expect him to turn it on in the final 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to have
a little bit, isn't it?
Not for KD.
Really? A guy
who's, and you're not going to have zero field goal attempts from KD through three quarters. He's still going to get his shots. I just think you're going to look for Steph Curry early on to try to get him going. You've got a little bit of wiggle room. You're up 3-1. And you're a 14-point favorite in this one. You're probably not going to fall behind by 15 or 20 points in this ball game to where you're going to realize, geez, we better bust our hump here. Otherwise, we got to go to L.A. and clinch on the road, and all of a sudden, you get in this wild scenario.
But isn't the screwing around aspect what cost them a 31-point lead in Game 2? Why would you want to come out with any sort of scenario in Game 5 where it's, okay, we're good, let's get away from what got us here, and let's go ahead and set things up to make sure other people are feeling good. And if it all goes against us, we'll just turn back to what got us there. Because repeatedly people tell me about momentum and how important momentum is. Momentum this, momentum that. You're just going to expect Kevin Durant to turn it on in the fourth if you've been deferring to Steph Curry the whole time. Yeah. I see what you're saying,
yeah.
But you're really creating a very minute, specific blueprint that requires multiple individuals to turn it on and off at specific points without actually letting the rhythm of the game dictate anything.
Yeah,
that could get a little bit dicey,
it
could
can,
it not?
It can, and I'm not saying that it's going to be such that Steph's going to have 23 field goal attempts at the half and Clay will have two and KD will have two. Obviously, KD and Clay will get what they have offensively coming to him, but I think you're going to see a little bit more of a determined effort to get Steph Curry some looks. Like in game four, Klay Thompson got looks early in that game. He got ISOs. They were taking away the three-pointer, so they posted him up. and he went to the hole early on. They made a determined effort to get Clay the ball. I think you see the same thing tomorrow for Steph.
All right, Greg Papa in 15 minutes at 8 o'clock. We've got George Kittle, Niners Pro Bowl tight end at 8:30, and we're going to jump into some draft coverage in just a moment, but we've got to hit on this story at least once today. This is from Dave McMenamin of ESPN. I'm going to read directly from the story so you're getting those words, not mine. A new lawsuit alleges that new Sacramento Kings coach Luke Walton sexually assaulted a woman sometime before being named coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in April of 2016. I'm going to insert myself here. That means Luke was a part of the Warriors when this happened. Back to the article. Quote, the civil lawsuit, first reported by TMZ and confirmed by ESPN, alleges that Kelly Tennant, a former host on Spectrum Sportsnet LA, the Lakers regional sports network, received an unwanted physical advance by Walton at a Santa Monica, California hotel room. The suit alleges that Tennant, who had a working relationship with Walton stemming from his time as a guest analyst on Spectrum, met with him at the Casa Del Mar Hotel to drop off a copy of her book, for which he provided the foreword when he was in town on a road trip as an assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. Now, according to the legal documents obtained by ESPN, Walton allegedly invited Tennant to his room so they wouldn't be seen together by any Warriors players. He then allegedly pinned Tennant to the hotel bed and forcibly kissed and groped her. The suit also alleges that in May 2017, sometime after the hotel incident occurred, Walton, quote, forced an aggressive hug and made a lewd remark about Tennant's outfit at a charity event the two attended. Now, this was something you sent to me via text yesterday, which implies that it's what you'd like to talk about on the show. Emails, texts, we're constantly sending each other stories. All this comes across. You have about 24 hours to dissect it, Lo. What stands out to you here?
Well, here's a situation where even a player and coach goes to show you that you can put yourself in compromising position, whether innocent or guilty. Certain positions you put yourself in, you put yourself at risk. And it goes to show you that even a coach, whether it's Luke, whether whoever it may be, if you allow yourself to be in certain situations, people that you trust, may not trust, I'm not saying who's wrong or right here, just goes to show you what can happen. Allegations are now put against Luke. Now you have a situation where a head coach could possibly lose his job. Now you have this young lady, her credibility being at stake. You hear what Luke's, what's his attorney saying, and here's not as someone that's been assaulted, but here's one is being pursuing for to financial gain. So you look at it, and now you're going to have to go through this dissertation where both sides are going to try to discredit one another. And now you have a man in Luke who's a friend of the show, a friend of the organization. Now he's going to have to pick up his battle and fight a battle in court and civilly, you know, criminally, there's things can happen. So my thing is, like, when you see these things happen, I tell my son, I tell guys out there, you have to be very, very careful what you're doing. Not saying who's wrong or who right in this situation. We don't know all the particulars, but your credibility's at stake if you allow yourself, that you put yourself in a compromising position no matter who you are.
All right. Luke Walton's attorney has a statement. Now, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. It's Mark, B-A-U-T-E. Mark Bouty, Mark Bout, my apologies. His statement, quote, Luke Walton retained me to defend him against these baseless allegations. The accuser is an opportunist, not a victim, and her claim is not credible. We intend to prove this in a courtroom. All this information on your plate, how do you slice it?
I slice it to where it's disturbing, no matter how you look at it, because these allegations come from either a place of fact or is it opportunistic? We don't know. None of us were there for any of these incidences. She also claimed that she didn't report his conduct but was forced to interact with him. She says each time she saw him, he would make implied threats of additional physical threats through his conduct. My question initially is, why wasn't this reported at the time? But as someone who's never been a victim of anything even remotely approaching this, I don't know what that would be like if that, in fact, happen to you in this situation and you have to continually work with the person. We've heard time and time again stories of victims who didn't report these incidents or these crimes out of fear of reprisals or fears of additional threats or, you know, other things that victims go through. So it's tough to look at this and not feel sympathy and empathy toward the purported victim in this. You don't really know what happened. So it's really just kind of a head scratcher
for the female perspective.
Yeah, we don't know what happened that night or that day, rather. But it's just it's a sad thing. One thing Lo said about the whole being idea being compromising, this is for men and women. You have to be really careful when it comes to being invited into a hotel room. As somebody who's worked in this industry, I know that, you know, you have that line that you have to be really careful of. Once you put yourself in that position, you've got to be careful. I'm not saying it's her fault, not saying it's anything like that for going there, but you have to be aware of your surroundings. And same thing for Luke. If you're going to invite somebody to your room, you don't know, you know, that's a bad look for you as well. So no matter what, it's bad on either way in this, and it's just sad. And also, he is a married man. So at the end of the day, if he did this, it's sad for the family. But also, if he didn't do this, it also looks bad for the family. I don't know, for the lawyer standpoint, too, as well, were there any, I didn't see any criminal charges or anything. It's just a lot.
I was going to ask you this, and this question isn't meant to lead in any sort of direction, but I always wonder this. Why not go to the police?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a good reason.
I'm sure there's a good reason, but I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Why would you not also go to the police?
I agree.
I get the suit. That's one way in which you can get justice. The you know, filing charges is another way. I don't understand why that part's not here. Do you have any insight as to that?
No, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I'm
wondering the same exact thing. I was wondering why were there no criminal charges as well if this was assault. It's not like, hey, you know, just trying to quickly kiss, make out or something. And then, but she's alleging assault. That's different. So the fact that it's a criminal assault, you would think that she would go to the police with that.
This is just a series of bad decision making for everyone involved.
I agree.
Just the one thing that stands out to me, and I have no idea how this played out, but it doesn't seem like anyone's fighting the part that this took place in a hotel room. Why are you in a hotel room together?
Exactly.
That's just the first question. That doesn't mean anything other than the fact that why is there business taking place in a hotel room? If you're bringing your book to drop off to this individual, you could eat hotel bar, hotel pool, any public venue is available to you in this location.
Even at the front desk?
Now, I guess I don't want to be seen by Warriors players. Why? Because they're going to make jokes? Isn't that just part of life? Whatever. Just do your business. You both chose to go to a hotel, and now you both find yourself in this situation. That right there, it's just bad decision-making. Learn to make good decisions. This does not appear to be a good decision on anyone's behalf. If it's a business meeting, where is a hotel room ever construed to be a good spot for a business meeting?
It's just not.
I'm sure there's something out there.
If you have multiple people like going into a room, if you're at a business meeting,
like
you
a suite.
Yeah, you get a suite together.
I can see that.
But if you have, I'm sorry. I know I've worked with you guys all for years now. I would never put myself in a situation where I'd say, hey, I'll meet you at your room. I think it's also not only a bad situation for us, it'd be a bad situation, it'd be disrespectful for my family, for your family. I just think it's bad all around.
It'd be bad to ask that as well.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll just meet in the room real quick and then we'll go down. No, you're at a venue where you can meet just about anywhere you want. So that's
Dibs made
right
me
there.
Meet him in his room, Joe, and I felt uncomfortable.
Really? Is that in Vegas?
Just little laughter, dude. I'm sorry. Yeah, in Vegas, we had the candlelight dinner.
Normally, I'm the guy who runs material, so it feels kind of good to be on the other side.
He's offended on multiple levels.
Multiple levels.
You're stealing his joke maker.
He's kind of stole my bit right there.
but you know what? I brought that up, Joe, because I talked to Lo. Me and Lorenzo, me and my son, we talk about issues. He's been at school now. He's going on his fourth year. He's never went into a young lady's dorm room. I told him, I said, here's what you have to realize. Whether they've been drinking or partying, he knows better than go in any girl's dorm room. Won't go out, won't drive someone home. I said, you can't do it. I said, don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, girls been drinking and they're like, oh, give me. No, I said, you put yourself in those situations and no one's there to defend you. I said, you're asking for trouble. It's just the way things are. Won't go to dorm rooms. Understands the importance of making sure that you don't put yourself in bad situations. Compromise. No matter, you could be right, you could be wrong, don't compromise it.
I think it was Wayne Gretzky who has the story. I'm not positive, but I want to say it's Wayne Gretzky, where he, for the majority of his career, literally never went anywhere without someone else with him, whether it's a teammate or a staff assistant or an assistant coach or a trainer, an equipment guy. It did not matter. Someone was always with Wayne Gretzky, and I think he was speaking to young guys later in his career about that, or someone asked him about it. He said early in his career, the reason he did that was early in his career, he got into an elevator and he was the only person on the elevator. I think he was traveling down. He was on like the 15th floor and he's heading down to the lobby.
Right.
And the elevator stops. Let's call it the 6th floor. And a woman gets in. Door closes. No interaction whatsoever between the two.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the lobby, and right before the door opens, she rips her shirt, messes up her hair, and starts screaming and runs out of the elevator and tries to put it on Gretzky. Now, again, I'm not positive it's Wayne Gretzky, but I almost think that's where the story comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that was someone who was specifically targeting him, specifically trying to get something out of him for that scenario. And he had no way to defend himself, like you're talking about. What do you say? People in a lobby look over at an elevator. There's a woman. She's hysterical. She's running out of the elevator. And oh, by the way, here comes Wayne Gretzky. Now, what do we make of that? You can slice it any way you want, but no one has any information that's the truth, that there's no video cameras. There are only two people that know what happened there, and the rest is pure speculation, and that can hurt everybody in that sense. No one, maybe there's no sense of justice at all, but ever since then, he learned maybe it's not fair. Maybe he shouldn't have to have someone with him at all times, but that was what was necessary. There's a difference between right and fair and how the world truly does work, perception versus reality.
And Luke's wrong. Because here's the situation. You allowed yourself to be in that situation, compromise your integrity, bring in a lady in your room, and you have to realize it's 2017. So what happened? Between this time, there's been agreements that, in my opinion, that's probably been tried to be reached, a settlement. So the settlement's not – think about it. So it's 2017. So there's probably been –
I think 2015 is when it happened. 2015.
Let me go ahead and bring the details up here.
They don't have the exact –
late April 2016
is when it happened.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was sometime before he was named coach of the Lakers in April of 2016, which means before April of 2016.
Right. So we're talking 3+ years.
At least 3 years.
Ago, right.
So that goes to tell you that there, in my opinion, this is just me, that there's probably been contact and communication back and forth to say, are we going to settle on this thing? The number's not being met. So, okay, I'm going to go publicly. That's usually how these things shake out.
That's one scenario that could be playing out here.
Right,
yes.
That's one of the ways.
As we present all the scenarios, that is one. We have seen this before time and time again. It's one angle that has to be brought up.
You're married. You shouldn't be in there. If you don't, so I'm going to either pay.
Or she's going to release the details of what she is claiming has happened. And her time with the TV station down in L.A. has ended, and so she's... You know, she's looking for other avenues. The Sacramento Kings have weighed in saying, quote, we are aware of the report and are gathering additional information. We have no further comment at this time.
Thanks, so, Kings.
Well, and, you know, they recently hired Luke Walton, and then now this news comes out. So as a team, and I know the Warriors have made a comment as well because this reportedly happened while he was in their employ. So now it's not only just a question of her and him, you got professional organizations tied up in this as well.
I did not know this until, I want to say, Mina Kimes from ESPN had this tweet up the other day. And I had no idea about this. And I actually ran this by Anna because I went home and I ran it by my wife because I had never heard of this before. And I was trying to figure out what's the social norm. She just threw out this tweet as like a heads up saying to all guys, if you're at a hotel and you get on the same elevator as a female and it's just the two of you, push the button to your floor first, and then if you somehow are going to the same floor, get off first. And I found that interesting because, you know, you're taught, let a lady, let a female off the elevator first, let her go first, and then you go second. So I had never thought any other way was the way to go about it. And then you realize, all right, if you're at a hotel and you push the button second, and oh, by the way, we're going to the same floor, then she gets off, she has to worry about you behind her, and I had never considered that before.
Right.
And then, being me, I find myself in a situation where it's like, well, what if I'm in that elevator in that situation and I get off first, but the other girl doesn't think like that, now I'm viewed as rude for storming out of the elevator first. There are a million different things going on there,
you gotta
but it makes
yourself.
Sense.
You got to protect yourself in the end. What's more important? Okay, yeah, maybe you seem rude for a second. What's more important?
I pride
myself
on my manners. I think we all know that. Classy gentleman.
You do. Hey, you open
it's
the door
funny,
for me all the time.
You joke, but you are very well-mannered.
Yeah. Classy.
When people
what
come
I say
in
too. Classy.
And you
Make
go
sure
to
you get
meet
that
them,
there.
You'll stand up and you'll shake their hand. I mean, you probably go a little bit overboard. So
the thing is, if my dad saw me do that, he would smack me.
Of course.
But if it makes the female more comfortable, you would rather do that. But I have no idea what the social norm is. This is a whole new problem. In the year 2019. What do you teach your kids? You have two boys. You have a boy. I have two boys. Storm out of the elevator first, son. Right? But again, you don't want to make someone uncomfortable because if that's what the individual would prefer and they don't view you as rude, I think then everyone would come to the agreement that that's the best way to go forward. But if that individual doesn't think that way and then you're perceived as rude, then what happens?
Think about
me. And what happens? You're on the radio. Oh, man, I was in an elevator with that guy one time. He's such a ASS. He stormed out of that. It's like, you know, you got a million things you got to deal with here.
It's a trap.
And think about being.
Moral of the story. Don't ride elevators.
Yeah. Yep, take the stairs.
Escalators everywhere. Vertical escalators.
No.
Which would probably be called elevators.
Yes, in essence, it would be
all glass elevators with cameras everywhere.
Chivalry is a prickly pear nowadays anyway because, you know, a lot of men and women want their independence and they want to be their own people. So the whole idea of chivalry, it's not necessarily dead. It's only situationally dead. And you make a good point. I think you had mentioned that before about Mina Kimes off the air.
It twisted me up.
It's blowing me away because now, I mean, what do you do? Because if you don't, a lot of times you hold the door open to make sure it doesn't close and you let them out and then... Now you're a creeper because you're walking behind a woman.
Chilton Auto Body text line, 408. Get out first, but hold the door open. Problem solved. Problem's not solved. Because then if you hold the door open, she's going to walk past you.
Exactly.
Now you're walking behind her. Now you're right back in the situation you found yourself in. Problem not solved. Text line, problem not solved. The show's about solving problems, not creating problems.
I just have my keys ready to go, just in case.
Keys? You go an extra floor up, Joe, and then you take the stairs.
What's a key going to do against Lowe?
I don't know. That's what I was
thinking. The size of Lowe, a key would just, it kind of wedge itself into him and just, you know, maybe unlock something, like his appetite. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us. 49er Pro Bowl tight end George Kittle coming up at 8:30. But right now, we're very happy to go to the phones. The Greg Popper Report is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. The great Greg Papa joining us on 95.7 The Game. Pop, it's great to have you with us. We're going to bring you right into an earlier conversation. It felt like Kyler Murray to the Cardinals was the direction in which the draft was heading right up until this week. And now you've got Pete Prisco and Todd McShay and other individuals saying, well, you know, maybe it's not necessarily a done deal. Do you believe Murray's going to be the first name called Thursday evening?
Well, I have no idea. It's a complicated situation. The one thing I've been noting is he does have leverage, unlike any other player in the draft, because he was a first-round pick in baseball. And, you know, Billy and David and the Fisher family gave him $4.66 million to sign last June. He didn't get all of it right away. He had to pay a lot of it back. And Jerry McDonald has reported they sweetened that by $14 million right around, I think, the combine when he was deciding whether to go to the combine and they made his declaration about being a player. So if there's more money for him there later, and there might be, then it just creates leverage. So, you know, you could put and there's a natural language in the contract anyway. If you give them, a significant signing bonus, it would be prorated. Say he'd left after a year and went and played baseball, you would get the money back, but that's not what you're after. You don't want to burn a draft pick. So he can look in the eye, and his father can look in the eye, and his football agent, who's also the agent of the head coach, but you've also got Scott Boras lurking behind this whole deal, which just makes it a bit of a risk, where if he does struggle in football and he just doesn't like it for whatever reason, I don't think that's going to happen because he's spoken about, you know, he's raised basically by his father to be a quarterback, but you just don't know. He has leverage. So if you're going to do this, draft him number one and then trade Josh Rosen, you're going to look pretty silly if this guy leaves after a year and goes back and plays baseball. So I think that's the component. And also, but from what I've told the people that understand it, it's not that big of a risk. He loves football, but he's got to do well. And then, you know, I do question a little bit of his leadership ability. I don't question him as a player at all, except for the first quarter of the Alabama game. But I think he overcame that. But you just, until you really know that you can sign him and there's not going to be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.